So, Alex, how did this project get started?
Well, you know, for me, it goes back to a few actually previous attempts to change this law that didn't work out. And then, you know, this year, late summer going into fall, the law suddenly looked like it was going to change. And people in California would, for the first time in decades, depending on how you parse the records, get a look, a window into how police departments handle serious kinds of misconduct and how they investigate uses of deadly force, including police shootings. And, you know, like I said, that was kind of getting toward the end of last year. And I was suddenly in a position as a criminal justice reporter with a lot of Public Records Act experience where I felt like I could do nothing other than to try to request as many of these records as possible. I actually tried to hedge that a little bit, but my colleague, Suki Lewis at KQED, really pushed to say, why don't we create a collaboration? Why don't we get a bunch of news organizations together throughout the state and really go after these records once they become open on January 1st of this year?
And how many records have you acquired so far?
You know, as of right now, I can say that the couple of news organizations that KQED has been working with most closely in Northern California, we've gotten some kind of a response from close to 100 different agencies. Now, we've sent public records requests to more than 400. So just as kind of a rough estimate, maybe you could say we've gotten about a quarter back responses that range a bit of a spectrum from, you know, full-on case files, body camera video, audio of internal affairs investigations, to very brief sort of synopses or indexes of cases where then in most of the time we're going back and seeking more.
And how much resistance have you had from police agencies?
Well, you know, that also is pretty varied, right? I mean, some just turn the records over right away. In fact, a lot more quickly than I would have ever expected. Others are, you know, in some kind of litigation. Now, let me step back from that for a second and say, you know, no cities have sued to stop these records from coming out. The cities are being sued by law enforcement unions in every case that I'm aware of, saying, city, you know, before you release these records, we want to challenge your legal ability to do so. And so those cases, there's at least a dozen across the state, have really slowed down the release of records in the jurisdictions, in the counties where those cases have been brought. And then there's sort of another ring of that, a little bit broader, where agencies are saying, well, we're not ourselves being sued, but we could be. So we want to wait until the courts make a ruling on whether or not we have to release these records under this law before we do so. That together, those sort of different positions together, you know, we're over 100 agencies have claimed some sort of either they're in a lawsuit that doesn't allow them to release the records or they want to wait for other lawsuits before they start releasing them. So that has been kind of the biggest holdup.
And has California been one of the more secretive states when it comes to police misconduct records?
Yes. And again, depending on who you ask, it's either the most secretive or one of the most secretive. I've been a journalist and a criminal justice reporter in California the whole time that I've been doing that work. So for me, it's just always been, you know, that was the sort of state of things. That was the state of the law, is if you wanted to know anything about police department administrative discipline, about when an officer, maybe they're not charged with a crime, but that they were found by their own department to have done something wrong, you just couldn't. There was just no avenues to be able to pry those records loose from any police departments throughout the state. And if you happened to get one, you got one, it would be illegal for you to get it. It would be illegal for a police agency to release those documents. And then all of a sudden on January 1st, it's just like major change. We can get, and again, it's not everything, but some of the most serious types of misconduct and, you know, use of deadly force, whether it be misconduct or just, you know, a justified police shooting, legally justified police shooting, we now can get tons of records about.
And one last question. How do you think this will change the way Californians look at police misconduct?
I think it's going to be difficult to tell because you don't know, because Californians have never gotten sort of a comprehensive look at this before. So I think the first step is, and this is really on journalists and why we've built this coalition, I believe, is to collect the data, present the picture to the public, serve as a conduit for that kind of thing to the public, and then let them evaluate it and see what they think. I can say that we've already, you know, in cases that we've reported on, seen sort of a miscommunication between law enforcement agencies who are finding potential criminal conduct on the part of officers that they're doing disciplinary investigations into, but we're not seeing a lot of charges filed by prosecutors in those cases. So it's a very small sample size at this point, but if that trend sort of continues to hold as we get more of those records, then I think that that's something that the public is going to be very interested in, to see sort of where do balls get dropped? Where are people in a certain profession maybe treated differently in the criminal justice system than others might be.